You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 278 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Happy Thursday. First morning, first round of the Masters Tournament. Hopefully, when you're listening to this, the ceremonial tee shots have been hit. There's birdies have been had, and play is underway, and we're keeping our fingers crossed it's going to be good weather. I actually think the weather might be decent tomorrow. It's the rest of the weekend that's probably going to suck really bad in Augusta. But, hey, it's the Masters. Who cares if there's sunshine? It's Augusta, and we're ready to see some fireworks. So tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. Probably can still live bet. There's probably still some props. There's probably some matchups you can get in, and you can bet three ball pairing matchups. You can bet one on one matchups. All kind of stuff that you can bet all this whole weekend. Use your coupon code BLEAV, BLEAV, get a 50% welcome bonus. I'm not going to do the math, but hey, that's just 50% more money on top of what you deposit that you get to play with for free. That it's like risk free. So just go in there, you get the 50% bonus, then dump it all on a bet. I mean, it's a risk free bet. If you win, you win. If you lose, who cares? It was free anyway. So go have some fun, sign up, and let's watch some golf. Bet Online is where the game starts. All right, Ben. So today is Wednesday when we're recording, but you're listening to this. It's round one. That means the champions dinner was Tuesday night, or was it Wednesday night?
Tuesday night.
And it's coming out. There's some stuff that's coming out. Fuzzy Zeller, I think, said that Phil Mickelson.
Be careful what you say here, because Fuzzy Zeller hasn't given the best comments through the years at Augusta.
That's true. Well, Fuzzy, I think it was Fuzzy, said that sat essentially, you know, off to the side and literally didn't say a word the whole time. I don't know the strategy there that Phil's going for. So help me understand that. That seems, in my opinion, it kind of brings more attention to yourself, especially if you're not normally you're normally a pretty chatty guy. What's Phil thinking here?
He's more of a chatty needle guy. And I don't know, because at first when I saw this, the first thing I thought is, you know, as Augusta has said, they've never banned a player from showing up. Like, even though Phil wasn't there last year, it was one of those things where it was Phil's decision not to show up. Even though we all know that he got that phone call that said, hey, it would behoove you not to show up. But anyway, so I don't – and it says when this I first read this, I was like, well, maybe he kept his mouth shut because he just didn't want to piss off the wrong person where he gets another phone call that asks him not to show up next year. I don't know. But then I thought, well, that's not the case because it's a players-only dinner. So unless a player sells him out – I mean, now, I will say – some of the members do serve them, so maybe that's why he kept quiet. Maybe people were walking in constantly to deliver food and that kind of thing, and he wanted to keep his mouth shut. But I just don't understand a guy that's known for needling and joking and telling jokes. And, you know, you're sitting in there with guys. I mean, Phil probably hasn't talked to Tiger in over a year. And, you know, the last time we saw him out when they played in the match with one another, they couldn't shut up talking to one another. Like, we were like, I thought they hated each other. Now they're best buds. Well, apparently now they hate each other again. And so I don't know. I did find it interesting when you look at the Champions Dinner photo, when you're facing the photo, on the right side, all the LIV guys are congregated together, except for Dustin Johnson, who's over there with Fred Couples and a couple of other guys. He's the only LIV guy that's not with the other LIV guys. So it did look a little – when they took the picture, it did look a little segregated. I don't know how the seating chart goes. Phil apparently – wasn't just Fuzzy that said it. They also had a source that said that he sat at the end of the table. So maybe that was another thing. Maybe who he got sat next to, he just didn't want to talk to. I don't know. But it's just a weird thing coming from the guy that chirps a lot and did not say anything to anybody, it seems like. Not even his fellow LIV players. He just kind of showed up, ate, and left. It's what it reads like. I don't know if that's what happened, but that's what it reads like.
I'm looking at the picture and I see it. It feels like they're pretty intermingled. I mean, you got Dustin Johnson, you got Charles Schwartzel right there in the middle. I mean, you do have Bubba, Sergio, and Patrick Reed, like 1, 2, 3, and then Phil's a little bit
and
over.
Phil's over there too. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That little pod that sat over there. Now, my worries got put to rest when they showed guys on the range today. Bubba was hitting next to PGA Tour players. DJ was hitting next to PGA Tour players. They weren't hitting next to LIV players. So,
why do you think it is? Everybody seems to be okay with each other, but Phil, why does it seem that way? Why does it seem like Phil, for example,
I think Phil was kind of
Brooks and Rory played a practice round. Brooks and Rory played a practice round together on Tuesday. Like, why is it Phil? Why is Phil the one where it's like he's the only one that anybody is mad at? I don't get it.
Because my take on that is like we talked about with Rory and JT being the face of the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour begging them to basically come out and be anti-LIV and be pro-PGA Tour the entire time. I think Phil was the mouthpiece for LIV. And I think some of the things that Phil said has just really rubbed some players the wrong way. I mean, even before he went to LIV, even Pat Perez was talking about how Phil needed to shut his mouth. And Pat Perez is on LIV now. And he just said some of the things that Phil has said. You know, Phil's made a lot of money on the PGA Tour, made a lot of money in endorsements, and he's not suffering at all. He needs to keep his mouth shut. And then Pat Perez goes and joins LIV. So I just think that Phil, the initial start of this, he was one of the initial guys that flew the coop and went that way. And I think maybe that kind of, I don't know, maybe that rubs some people the wrong way.
Do you value, to me, it was a much bigger blow to the PGA Tour that Dustin Johnson went than Phil. And Dustin went pretty quickly after Phil, like not very long after Phil. So I don't buy that. If that's the case, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me because Phil does not move the needle as much as Dustin Johnson does in current day golf. And I feel like Dustin Johnson was more of a catalyst as, hey, somebody that can actually win majors right now, leaving was the first one to go. I don't know. I don't know if it was his comments.
Then you factor in personalities. DJ's an aw shucks guy. It's like hard to hate him.
Yeah.
Whereas Phil's a in your face chirping guy. It's easy to hate him. It's easy to hate the guy that cackles over in the corner constantly.
Phil's just like such a likable guy.
I completely agree.
I don't see that either.
I'm with you. I don't understand. And I don't understand why some of the elder statesmen for the PGA Tour, the Tiger Woods of the world, some of the older guys haven't tried to be the grown up in the room and put all this shit to bed. I mean, the media talks about Brandon Chamblee. We talked about this on the last pod. They talk about how they all hate one another. And then they show when they left the room and were all hanging out on the porch, they're all talking to one another and hugging each other and shaking hands when they left and, you know, waving at each other and texting each other and all that. So it's like, I think you said it best. I think you put a tweet up. We're all being snowed here. Like, I think
but the overarching point is for some reason it's not with Phil. Like, it's legitimate. They legitimately don't like Phil. And he's to the point where he's scared to say stuff at the champions dinner. I wonder if everything revolves around his comments that were off the record that got put on the record. Maybe that's it. That he actually acknowledged that they were going to use dudes that they knew were bad guys to leverage the. That's the first like open like dialogue that they were trying to actually hurt, I guess, or try to reshape the PGA Tour, which everybody should be his best friend and should be patting him on the back because he just made all the best golfers on the PGA Tour just a pile more money. But I think it's a bad strategy on Phil. I think it's a bad strategy for Phil personally.
I think he should talk. I think he should be. It's going to make the other guys look like dicks if they don't talk back to him. Like if he should be the Phil. He should be the. When he's walking down the fairway, you know, the whole.
Yeah.
You know, he should be the guy grinning and chirping and talking and visiting with people and being very vocal because that's him. That's who we know. And if he does all that and he's the likable guy and then they're like, yeah, we still don't like him, then it makes them look like the ass. Doesn't make him look like one.
You put the ball in their court.
He's being a normal dude. Why are you mad at him? Because he said something a year and a half ago. Okay. He's apologized to you. What else do you want?
He's so, made you more money. Move on. I think he made an error there, and it got blown up, and now everybody knows it, and now you seem like you're the one that's got you sort of put yourself in a where you kind of seem like maybe your butt hurt or you're scared or you feel guilty or something. I just don't think it was a good look. I think you pretend
scared
like nothing happened.
Scared and guilty stick out to me. That's what you just said. It seems that way.
You should have. I mean, I think you go in, you pretend like nothing happened, and then you're just Phil Mickelson. I think that's I think that would have been much smarter move. But the smartest move that you can make after you get finished with this podcast, or you could do it while you're listening to it, as long as you're not driving, is check out Bad Birdie Golf.
Unless you're at a red light.
Unless you're at a red light, then you can pull up the app, the brand new app, real quick on your phone. Boom, boom, check out, ready to go. No, Bad Birdie Golf Apparel, guys. I don't know if it's the first time people have heard of it, or if maybe you've seen it and you hear us talk about it and it's made you just want to go check out their website. But the orders have been absolutely insane. Like, you guys, we really appreciate the support there. Not only is it great stuff, but you can save a ton of money. There's already cheap, already not cheap, inexpensive compared to the other shirts in the market. Great loud prints. And you can save 15% off on already good savings using coupon code DAD15. That's DAD15. You can take 15% off your order on top of already incredible savings. You can get hats. You can get shirts, you can get quarter zips, you can get shorts, pants, driver head, putter head covers. They got everything, man. Really, really cool up and coming brand. Definitely check them out. They have some Augusta themed stuff. I think it sold out in like 5 minutes. So be watching for that stuff to pop back up. Bad Birdie Golf Apparel. You got to check them out and get loud and proud on the golf course. You're going to feel good. The material is amazing. Get ready for summer, spring. They got all the colors that you could possibly dream up. So check them out. Bad Birdie Golf Apparel. All right, moving on. A little bit more live flavor. No live guys in featured groups this year on the Masters app. The early coverage. They always have featured groups. I saw a tweet. I could not find it. It went back over the last 3 years, I think. The last 3 years of feature group coverage, there's been well over 5 to 6 guys that were on the LIV Tour that were a part of these feature groups over the course of the tournament. This year, zero. You don't have the U.S. Open champ. I'm sorry. You don't have the Open champ. You don't have the Masters champ from just 2 years ago. You don't have the Masters champ from 4 years ago. You don't have Bryson DeChambeau, who has been on a featured group every single year. You don't have Brooks Koepka, who just won a LIV event, who's got a chance to compete for a Grand Slam, not a Grand Slam, but compete for another major. I would get it if it was like maybe one or two, but zero seems intentional. And I think a lot of people want to see those guys play you're just putting your cards out there when you do stuff like this. And I just think it's a bad look, and the Masters doesn't typically have bad looks. Whoever decided this, I just think that's you're cheating the fans is what you're doing. You're cheating the patrons that watch on TV.
I think a lot of this, though, goes to the pairings. I mean, Sergio is with Kazuki Higa and Keith Mitchell. Keith Mitchell's been hot as of late. Patrick Reed with Adam Svensson and Sahith Theegala. I mean, Bubba's with Seamus Power, and then Mateo Fernandez de Oliveira, who was the Latin American amateur winner. So,
the pairings, do they not?
No, that's what I'm saying. Before we blame the feature groups, I think you take it back and you blame. They didn't. They said that they would not take into account when they put together the pairings that they would treat the live guys the same. I don't think they did. I think they did just enough to get away with it by some of the, like Bubba playing with Seamus Power and the Latin America, you know, AM champ. You know, that you would think, see, we didn't mistreat him. We stuck him with an amateur champ, and he's with Seamus Power, who played decent golf as of late. It's like, yeah, but those aren't needle mover names. I mean, why is Bubba not playing with other former Masters champs like you do every other year? Like, that's the thing that I get. And
like Cam Smith, Cam Smith has an awesome group that could be a feature group. He's got Hideki Matsuyama and Sung Jae-im. Like, that would be a stellar featured group. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau, they put him with a crap group.
You know, you got Tiger and Victor and Xander, and I'm like, so why put Victor in there? Why not put a former champion like DJ in that group?
Yeah.
But instead,
you're
protecting Tiger, and you're putting him with other PGA Tour players instead of any LIV guy. The big-name PGA guys are not playing with a LIV guy. That's what I don't like. That's the issue I have. Not that they're not in a feature group. I'm upset that they didn't put a JT with a LIV guy, or John Rahm with a LIV guy, or a Tiger with a LIV guy. And because there are plenty of LIV guys that have major championships. So there was an opportunity to do that, and they're saying they're not mistreating them, but they're mistreating them. I'm sorry, but they are.
They're just not being honest. There's definitely showing favoritism. So you know what they're going to have to do? They're just going to have to go win the damn thing. They're going to have to go win to get themselves or finish shoot real low. So that when it gets to Saturday, they're on the primetime tee time spots. I mean, even if you did an all live group, like the only dudes that are in there are all like blockbuster names. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. If you did
Cam, DJ and Brooks, people would watch the hell out of that.
Oh, they would.
I'm sorry, but they would.
They'd pick that over. That would rival whoever Tiger plays with. I think it'd be whoever Tiger plays with, and then it'd be them. If you put them in a featured group.
They're not going to admit to that, though.
No, they're not, and
I know that they said, you know, they said there would be no mistreatment, they're already lying. As you said, they're just not speaking truths. Otherwise, these pairings would not be where they did enough to shut them up, is what they did. They stuck them with a guy that could borderline be okay to play with. If you're going to do that, if you're going to make that statement, then I'll be mistreated again. Somebody should be playing with Tiger. Somebody should be playing with Rory. You know, a LIV guy should be. DJ won the damn thing. Like, you used to have it where you'd have like three former Masters champions playing in a group, and that would be a feature group. That's not the case this year.
No.
So that's stupid. I don't like that.
No.
So they're not being, as you said, they're not being honest. I like Jermaine.
They're not being,
just go win the whole damn thing.
They're doing a disservice to the fans. They're doing a disservice to the people that they're supposed to be serving, not themselves. They're supposed to be serving the fans, and they're serving themselves. So,
because I think I call it the Walmart test, Kyle. Of course, this would be more like the country club test. If you stood out and you asked 100 country club members as they walked in to tee off that day, some of their favorite golfers, DJ would be brought up, Brooks would be brought up, Cam would probably be brought up. And fans, contrary to what the PGA Tour thinks and what Augusta National probably thinks and even CBS probably thinks, we really don't care. We just want to see good golf, and we want to see guys that are popular. Yep. I mean, I'm sorry, nothing against the American AM champ. I don't really care how he does unless he's in the mix on Sunday. So
exactly.
I'm not going to pay attention to him on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I'd like to see, you know, Bubba, one of the most historical wins in Masters history, and he's stuck playing with nobodies. That's just dumb.
He's playing with Seamus Power, who hit two hole-in-ones today in the when you're listening to this, is Thursday, but so I guess yesterday on Wednesday.
That's recency bias.
The par three contest, he hit two hole-in-ones in back-to-back holes. Like, how is that possible? How is that possible?
That's got to be a first. I think they said some guy back in the 70s had two hole-in-ones on there, but not back-to-back. I don't think anybody's had it back-to-back. I'm not real sure, but I thought they said that during the broadcast.
Oh, man. You know who won it today?
Who won the par three?
Hoagie.
Tom Hoagie. Dadgummit. Yeah. I wouldn't mind if he won. Now he's cursed because no one's ever done
it. Yeah, he's cursed. Bubba was in the lead, and Hoagie he had a chance, too, to not win it. He had a chance to just tie, and it doesn't go to a playoff. He made a birdie on nine because it's only nine holes. He made a birdie on nine to win it and take the lead. So
Hoagie also had a hole-in-one. There was five hole-in-ones today. Somebody said that was the most they've ever had in the the hole-in-one contest in one day. Is that cool? Is that true?
It's got to be true. I
think Bubba had a hole-in-one. It's pretty cool. Bubba Watson had a hole-in-one.
Seamus,
what do you think about
that? I think Seamus must have picked up or let a kid putt or something at one point in time because he had two holes in one and then he wasn't on the front page of the leaderboard. I'm like, wait a second. How's a guy go four under on two holes and he's not? But you know what? Some of the guys when they pick up, they're not eligible, so they take them off the leaderboard. So
you disqualify yourself. Does the par three contest do anything for you anymore?
I like it. As bad as it sounds, being the old guy and a dad, like I get a big kick out of them having their kids out there with them and just kind of being a fun free-for-all deal. Like, especially when a kid like sees the ball and just goes over and picks it up when a guy's got like a birdie putt and the kid goes running off with it. Like I love that, you know, that total chaos / you know, who gives a crap about it, but, and it's cool. Who was it that showed their crystal balls that they get, you know, cause
every time you hole
on every hole, every time closest the hole on every hole, they send you like a marker. And so, I wish they would. Yeah. They brought that up like four times today.
I thought it was just for hole in one.
No, you get another prize for hole in one, but you get for closest the hole on every hole, they send you a crystal golf ball.
A crystal golf ball. Okay. Well, you get a crystal vase for a hole in one.
Yes. And yeah, so you get the crystal you essentially, if you went nine holes and you didn't have a hole in one, but you're close as a pin, you could walk away with nine crystal golf balls that day.
Did not know that. So I learned that today.
You'd also probably be nine under unless you picked it and you'd probably win and then you wouldn't win the Masters. So hope you enjoy those crystal golf balls. Have fun.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. I gotta be honest.
When you get a hole in one, do you get a crystal golf ball and a crystal vase?
I've never heard of this crystal golf ball thing. I've never heard of
that. Oh, they brought that up like four or five times a day.
I'm gonna have to confirm that. So, but I trust you, but I've just never heard
I trust Curtis Strange, even though he was kissing, the rear end of the goat guy that made a goat of himself and Gary Player all afternoon long. Gary looked bad too. I know he's still doing his sit-ups, but, this may be his last year doing that. He was moving mighty slow today.
Last year doing what? The Masters or sit-ups?
Playing the.
Oh, the par three
contest. Both. Yeah, par three contest.
The par three contest doesn't do much for me. I don't know why. I just
– You don't even like just watching it?
No, not really. Not at all. Like, there's literally nothing about it. I'll watch highlights. That's all I want.
No fun, Kyle.
I just want the
– Kyle wants no fun.
No fun. Well, number one –
It's not the course.
if it was an actual par three, like they actually went to went out and played like the par threes at Augusta, like that would be I'd love that. But we're playing a bunch of like 100-yard par threes at and all the damn greens, all the pin funneled all the pins.
Yeah,
like it's just I don't know. Doesn't do a whole lot for me.
It's more of a. They shouldn't call it a par three since they redesigned it. There can't be a hole that's over 120 yards. So it's a pitch.
It'd be like a par two and a half. Is what it should be.
Par two and a half. It's a pitch and putt now.
Yeah.
And so it now.
I don't hate tradition. It's just not fun. I would like to participate in it, but I would not like to. I just don't like watching it. I would not want to go. Yeah. I'll tell you this. If I went on a Wednesday, I would wait till everybody went to watch the par three contest, and then I would just go like roll around on the course, like roll around in the fairway.
That's what we did. We watched We went on a Wednesday. The last time I went, we went on a Wednesday, and we walked over to the par three, saw how packed it was, and we hung around the practice green and got to see Jack and Gary and some of the other feature groups in the afternoon putt on the practice green. And as soon as they left to go tee off, we went and just walked the rest of the course. We didn't even hang around and watch par three.
Is there many people out on the course when you do that?
No. And as a matter of fact, I didn't tell you this story. We get to four. We start on one. We get to four. And one of the volunteers says, why don't you jump under the ropes and walk with me? And we walk down four. We walk down five. Walk down six.
Hit a shot on seven. They let me hit a pitch.
I tell you what, they were adamant. Do not get on the green and do not get in the bunkers. They were like, we will escort you out of here. You will be arrested and thrown down on the ground right away. And so we did that. And then basically when we got to nine, he goes, all right, boys, this is where it ends. But we were done. We had to get back outside.
How about
the ropes
this?
After that.
So talking about volunteers, when I was on 11, there was a lady volunteer there, and she's talking about she already had her round set up. She's playing on May 23rd, which I think is awesome. But I didn't know this. They can go play the par three contest all year long as many times as they want.
I did not
know that as a volunteer. That's pretty dang awesome. I've been trying to work my way into figuring out how to volunteer, but I think you got to have like at least 100 to 200 people pass away before you can get on.
Yeah, I got to end, but he told me that the list is long. The CEO for a certain company has volunteered for over 20 years, and he comes to visit with us on the air, and he always has Augusta merch. Anytime he comes in to visit, he's always wearing Augusta merch. And I said something. He goes, yeah, I volunteer. And I go, all right, sweet. How do I volunteer?
Would you volunteer, Ben? Like, how about, I'm going to give you a scenario. Mm. This is a good scenario. How about this? Let's just skip right into a scenario. You're a volunteer, but you're the bathroom guy for 7 days. You never get to watch the Master, but you get to play. But you get to play Augusta once.
See, that's the best part is you don't have to volunteer for 7 days. They only make you work a couple of rounds, so you can use your volunteer badge to do it. So you can go elsewhere.
I don't think that's true. I don't think you can play.
That is true.
I don't think you can. I don't think you. I don't. I think you got to be there a whole week. I think you got to be there a week. You may get a shift, but in this scenario, you don't get to watch the Masters.
Okay.
You're a volunteer from Monday to Sunday. Okay.
What do I get out of it?
You get what they get. You get to play. You could play the par three contest as many times as you want. You get to play Augusta once a year, but you never get to watch the Masters. You have to work at the bathroom.
This isn't just a 1 week tour that I got to do. I got to do this every year.
Every year.
No, I'm not doing that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not doing. I'm not a sit in a bathroom year in and year out just to play the par three and play one round at Augusta
for 1 week to get to play Augusta
every year.
Yeah, so you could play one round of golf there every year. Oh, bro!
Yeah, I think after 5 years, I'd be like, I'm tired of standing in the effing bathroom.
I don't think so. I don't think I'm coming up with new jokes. I'm in. I get to play once a year. You kidding me? You kidding me? I'm going to do the blow it up thing. Oh, hey, blow it up. Not in the toilet, though. You know, that kind of thing. Hey, you shake it. Only two shakes or something like that. Two shakes and move or something like that. That's some stuff like that. The guys were saying, oh, yeah, I'm in. You kidding me?
Two shakes or you're a pervert. Somebody said that one time when I was in there. He was like, more than one shake, you're perverted.
Yeah, I'm in. Count me in. Take me to the potty, and then I'm going to go play. How about that? Okay. Let's go. Yeah.
You go right ahead, bub. You have fun with that.
You kidding me? The value of playing
not Augusta. Every year. If you would have said you have to do that 1 year, you can't watch the Masters, you can't DVR it, you can't do anything.
Well,
you have to sit
damn,
in the bathroom
Ben,
for 7 days.
Who would say no to that?
Who would say yes to doing it for a lifetime?
Me,
no
me. We're one out of two right now. One out of two right
You're
now.
Crazy.
But Ben, there's people that volunteer that don't get to see the tournament. So like,
oh, I understand that, yeah.
So like, I mean, there's people that do it to get to do this. So like, a lot of people get to do this to get to do it.
I know, but like, you got to, like the gentleman that I'm talking about, like he has to give them X amount of days, and then he gets to choose a practice round day and a tournament round day where he gets in for free and he gets to walk the grounds and he gets to go. And the people you're talking about that work like every day, they're usually like in the hospitality industry. Like Auburn University sends 65 people to go volunteer, and that's what they do. They work in those tents and serve sandwiches for seven straight days. That's what they're doing. But they're not like this guy that's an avid golfer and wants to volunteer. They're doing it for course credit. And you got the Turfology people that do the same thing.
I'm doing this for course credit too. I'm doing, hey, I'm doing it for
course credit. You're going to sit in the bathroom for course credit too?
I'm doing course credit. It's the Augusta National Golf Course is the course credit I'm trying to get. So I will definitely do it every single year, 1 week, volunteer 7 days a week, never watch the Masters. If I got to play, I could go up, play the par three in anytime I wanted to, and then I get to play Augusta once a year. Are you kidding me? It'd be absolutely
have
fantastic.
Fun in the shitter.
Have fun. Plunge your up, baby. Yeah, right. Gloves to here and start plunging. I'm in.
Yes.
Count me in. All right. Great show. That's what we're going to call it for that one for tonight. We'll do a first round recap tomorrow and hopefully just keep it going the rest of the
week. Oh, real quick. Just give a feature group. Just real quick.
Feature group.
Yeah, feature group.
Which one are you walking with? What's your best group?
My best group I'm walking with is JT, John Rahm, and Cameron Young.
Okay.
That's who I would probably take. If somebody said, you got one group, you can only follow this group all day. Only one group. Choose one. I could go on the obvious with Tiger, but I was like, nah, I mean, let's see
it's
some guys
obvious.
Yeah, that's everybody wants to do that. Let's go. And still, even with John Rahm, that group may be packed trying to follow them, but still, that would be the group. Especially if they said you get to volunteer and hold the score sign. You got to pick a group you want to do it. I'm doing it. That's who I'm doing it.
I'm with you. I'm struggling with mine. I think I probably follow. I think I follow the last group. I think I go with Jordan Spieth, Fleetwood, and Finau. I think that's my group I'd follow. I think that'd be a good group to follow. I got to see Tony Finau play a few holes. I've seen Jordan play before. I've never seen Fleetwood play. They all are different kind of players.
Yep.
You get a whole different a lot of different aspects of how to play this golf course. And I mean, Jordan Spieth talking to himself and talking to his caddy is
just must-see TV. Yeah.
Must-see TV. And then, you know, maybe Tommy Fleetwood's hair on Twitter would tweet about me if they saw me in the stands.
He would.
And then, you know, I just love – I think Tony Finau's a great guy in general, so I think he'd be cool to hang around. He may give you one of his shoes or something. He just, like, gives people stuff. So, you know, you never know what could happen. So I might have to knock a little kid down to get it. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, every man for himself. Every man for himself. All right, Ben, appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of the week. Enjoy the first round of the Masters today, and we will talk back again tomorrow. This is episode 278 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod.
Yes, it is.
We're always stroking.
Always stroking.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.